Well, happy Mother's Day. Maybe somebody's already said that to you this morning. What I was thinking about, I don't often preach a Mother's Day sermon. Usually I kind of stick with either in a series but this morning I'm gonna talk about Mother's Day a little bit. Earlier this week, a mother from our congregation sent me a link to a blog post, and it was a very interesting blog. And it talked about the Mother's Day, that sometimes Mother's Day can be a very difficult time for some women. And even in the church sometimes, women who maybe wish they were mothers, have tried to be mothers, a lot of pain that could be associated with Mother's Day. And so, I was thinking too, there's not any other days that we really recognize the rest of the women in the church that are here. And so I'm going to kind of claim today to recognize all women, okay? So if you're a woman here today, I hope that this morning that you feel honored and respected and appreciated this morning. That's my desire. I hope the Spirit speaks to you wherever you're at in life, whatever position you're at, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're a mother, or whether you're not. I hope that your needs are met by God today. Now, as we look at our society, we all know that women experience a lot of abuse in our society. You're probably familiar with the story coming out of Cleveland the last week or so, of the women who were held captive for 10 years. It's just hard for us to even comprehend what that would have been like, whether it was our daughter or one of our relatives or someone, a friend that we knew. What would that have been like to see a loved one go through that? My daughters have been very good at bringing to attention some of the abuses around the world to my attention. I know that they're involved in the End It campaign, which is a campaign that is bringing focus to the slavery of women in the world, primarily women, not just women, but primarily women. Over 27 million, they calculate, are in some type of sexual slavery around the world. And so these things are difficult to understand and think, what can we do? How can we minister to women in our congregation, but also in our community and around the world? What is it that we can do? And even if we think of those women, there are even more women probably who are even in our country or whatever are suffering silently in their own homes, in the privacy of their home, whether they're in an abusive relationship or whether just being ignored and unappreciated. And so what can we do? That's the question that I'd like to think about. And I'm talking primarily to us as men, men and young men, what can we do about this issue? And I think it comes down to some simple things. There's a lot of different things that we could do. But first and foremost is simply to love and honor and respect the women that God has placed in our lives. For us to do that as men, to love and honor and respect the women that God has placed in our lives. As I was getting ready this morning, trying to get a casserole together, and I was fumbling through the cupboards, trying to find garlic salt. I couldn't find it anywhere. Or pepper, I was like, I didn't know where it was located, and I wasn't sure about the right size dish. I was gaining an appreciation for what my wife does so rapidly and so well. That's one responsibility in our household that I haven't taken on since our first 2 weeks of marriage, when I came out of college learning to kind of cook the basics, you know, like mac and cheese and heat soup up and things like that. And about the first 2 years of our marriage, I kind of did the cooking. And Doris kind of started to figure it out. But she gradually took over that task. And I, you know, just those things like that that are so easy, you know, we share the responsibilities of the different responsibilities in the home. But taking appreciation for some of those things that I don't do very well and I don't do often are just an example of what we're called to do as men. And so I want you to think this morning how we can honor them. And later as we wrap up our time, I want to take a time just for prayer for the women among us. And I'm going to have women pray with women, because sometimes I think us men don't understand exactly what you need. So I'm going to have you pair up as we wrap up our time and just have a time of praying and meeting each other's needs, that you can be prayed for and your needs can be met here today. So I hope that we can simply love and honor and respect the women that God has, that the women that are in our lives. To learn to affirm people, I think, is one of the most difficult things for us. We so easily take each other for granted, don't we? But to learn to appreciate those, even those small things that people do each and every day, is a difficult thing. And so I want to encourage us to affirm each other, to validate the worth of every woman among us here, whether they're dating or whether they're not dating, whether they're married or whether they're single, whether they're young or old, whether they have children or whether they don't have children. Each of us is different. Each of us has a different road to walk. And none of us can claim the high ground like this is, you know, I'm better than someone else because I have this or I have this position or this is my situation. Each of us has a different road that God has asked us to walk. And so to affirm each one in that road, and we all have different difficulties in that road to walk, different challenges that we face. I find it interesting sometimes when I'm talking to younger ladies that are desiring to be dating or desiring to be married and just have a very strong desire for that, for a young man to fill a need in their life. And at the same time, I'm talking to women who are trapped. They feel trapped in a marriage that has fallen apart, a difficult relationship that they're in. And I have to think we need to appreciate the challenges that all of us face in the situations where we're at. And we need to understand that we don't understand those challenges exactly. And I'll have to say, as a guy, I often don't get it, okay? Women are mysterious to me yet, and they continue to be. I think that will be the way it is for the rest of my life. There's a mystery there, but we need to try and understand and see what it is that they need. What do they need from us? So we need to affirm each other. I like the passage, the verse in Galatians chapter 3. I don't know if you've covered this yet in the Galatians class. But it says that Paul is talking. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that is so important for us to remember. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He does not make any distinction about our status or what's going on in our lives. There's not one person raised above the other. We're all one in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I think about right away that is sometimes difficult on Mother's Day is singleness. Single women. And you don't have to go far in the New Testament to see the respect that is needed for single women. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 7. The idea of being single can be a great thing. That singles are more free to serve the Lord, sometimes unhindered by the responsibilities of a husband or a wife, the responsibilities of children. They're able to commit themselves maybe even more fully to the Lord. It doesn't mean that they they all do, but they have that potential. I remember Fern Horst. Some of you remember Fern that used to attend here years ago. She started a great ministry on the internet, singleness.org, specifically for single people who have a different set of challenges in life than what married people have. And so she set up a lot of different things on that website that reach out to the needs of single people. And so this morning, I want us to honor the single women among us. And I think for married sometimes, we need to refrain sometimes from maybe senseless comments like asking when they're going to date or when they're going to get married or making the assumption that everybody needs to be married in order to be complete, making that assumption. So I don't know, I make a lot of silly comments sometimes that are not real thoughtful, and so I want to encourage us to be thinking about how things come across when we make some comments like that. I had to think, I was at one of Bryce's baseball games recently, and I was listening to the coaches talking there, and a guy was up to bat, and the coach made this comment. He said, "Stop thinking and just be an athlete." And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, what does that mean? Stop thinking and just be an athlete. Like, athletes don't think, or I knew what he was trying to get at, but I was thinking, you know, sometimes we're not even aware how something sounds when we say it. And so be thinking of the needs of people around us and the comments that we make and how that might impact them. So I'm going to touch on just briefly on several areas this morning. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow, we could talk about that a long time. What does that look like? Does your wife feel loved this morning? Does she know that her needs are more important to you than your own? Does she understand that? And as we were doing the vows with David and Brenda, that part to love and to cherish as part of the vows, does your wife feel loved and cherished? Does she experience that? This past Thursday, Doris and I decided to take the day off and just spend it together and go watch a movie. And the whole time I was thinking beforehand, okay, I have these other things I need to, can we really afford to do this? Take this day off in the middle of the week when we have these other things that aren't done yet. And just recently, I just kind of realized how important it is for us as couples, especially as us as husbands, to take the lead in taking time to cherish our spouse, to cherish each other, to spend time together, to set the work aside that will always be there, to find a babysitter, to be a babysitter for someone so they can do this, but to take that time for each other. It's very important. And so I could talk a lot of things about husbands, but think about how can you love and cherish your wife. Children, honor your father and mother. The Bible says that 8 different times. Honor your father and mother. Does your mother know that you honor her? Does she know that you respect her? And it bothers me, I'll have to admit, it bothers me when I see children disrespecting their mother. I want to step in. And it was something in our family that I just didn't tolerate. If there was any talk back, if there was any lip given back to their mother, I would not tolerate that. It was one thing that I just was not going to happen. And so do you as husbands stand up for your wives in that with your children so that they will honor and respect their mother. Beauty. Just briefly, beauty is an important thing for women. I was talking with Danae about this. I think it's important for women to realize that you are beautiful by God's standards. That His standards aren't necessarily like the standards of the world, that you don't have to match up to the world's standards as far as what they think is beautiful. And for us as men, the women in our lives, to remind them often that they're beautiful. It's very important, I think, for us to do that with the women in our lives. Of course, appropriate relationships in that. But I would like men to recognize the beauty that they have. And Scripture talks about a beauty on the inside that is much more beautiful than the beauty on the outside that the world looks at. This inward beauty is a beauty that never fades, Scripture says. And it's a beauty that, as men, that we should be affirming that beauty in the women in our lives, praising them for that beauty. So I would encourage husbands and fathers and brothers and sisters, would you tell the women in your life how beautiful they are today and every day? And for women, I would encourage you, don't think that you need a man to be complete, or even a child to be complete. Don't sell yourself short for what you think will make you happy. Believe in yourself for who God has made you. I think of the verse in Psalm 139. The psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And so do we believe that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, just how we are. That we don't have to be anybody else. We don't have to live up to other people's expectations. But God has made us beautiful, just as we are. And of course, for single men, I would ask you to respect women. I would ask you to not use them for your own purposes. I would ask you to take the lead in sexual purity. You need to take the lead. It always saddens me to see young women who sell themselves short outside of marriage in a sexual relationship, and young men who ask for it. It always makes me sad. It reminds me, as we talk about the beauty that God has made us, it almost to me feels like taking this masterpiece that God has created and selling it at a garage sale for $2. That's what it feels like to me. Women, you're so much more valuable than that. And men, take the lead in sexual purity. Respect women as the beautiful people that God have made them to be. This morning and today, I would like you to take time to affirm the women in your life and to affirm women in our congregation appropriately. I so appreciate the partnership that I have with my wife in the work of the church and our family. I don't know what I would do without her. I know that even in my ministry, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do. The sermons that I prepare, all the pieces have her fingerprints all over them. And so she's a wonderful partner, and I appreciate her so much. And I'm not really one to speak because I'm one that tends to sometimes take people for granted. I fail in that area. I sometimes put my head down on the work, and I take people for granted, and I take my wife for granted. But I really appreciate her, and I would encourage each of us, whether it's our daughters or our wives or our friends or other women who have served in this congregation as Sunday school teachers, serve as teachers, teaching our children, have done so many different things. I appreciate the women who are part of our leadership team who contribute in that. It's so wonderful to have their input on our leadership team as wives of elders and pastors. And so take a moment this morning and today, and maybe as we move forward in the weeks and months, to show appreciation and affirmation for the women that are close to you. Let them know that they're special, they're beautiful, and that they're loved by God. For our prayer time, Aaron, if you want to come up, we're just going to play some music right now. And I'm going to encourage the women, you don't have to do this, but if you would like to pray with someone, in fact, let's all stand up right now if we would. If you would like to pray with someone, if you just want to come up, and you can also just grab another lady next to you, and just take a moment to share with them what's going on in your life. Maybe you are struggling with something, and you would just appreciate some prayer. I just encourage you to find someone. If you are interested in that, just come up to the front. If you don't have anybody that you want to pair with, and another lady, just come up beside her and pray with her. So, men, I would encourage you to pray for them as well. And we're just going to leave this time, go into our, until we start adult class time, which is quarter after. So if you need to take extra time, as you're done praying, men and whoever, you can make your way out to the lobby. There's coffee out there. You can take that. But just take some time to pray for each other and be prayed for and be ministered to this morning. All right, you're free to gather and pray.